I only had one song that I could sing you, or a story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something
and joy I have when times are tough.
I could sing of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. There's something beautiful.
With me down the corridors of time and see so many stories that all begin the same. A young man and his bride setting dreams aside to go where God has called them, with himself their only guide, their one desire to see souls come to Christ and to build a church beside the road, holding up the light. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for believing that God's way is
Together, if you could, and grab your Bibles, and we'll turn to the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter number 2, Luke chapter number 2, and we will read from verse number 41 to verse number 52, Luke chapter number 2, verse 41 is where we will begin. Verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, speaking of Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray in these few minutes as we share some thoughts from your word that you would help us to get what you want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, today we celebrate 29 years. It has been a great journey. God put it in the heart of Pastor Esposito to come and start this church. And since the day that it was founded, it's been fantastic. You think back at a time like this, you think of all that you've went through, and I think of really of all the buildings we've been in, it's been pretty crazy. Still remember that first service, our first service, we met one in MacArthur Park, and we visited for about 6 months leading up to the start of the church. To that time, we were Cambodian Christian Baptist Church, kind of a long name there. And we look forward to that service. We had over 100 people in that very, very first service, and it was a blessing. Of course, you've heard the story. That second week, we had already secured a building to rent, and a week before our first service, they called us and said, you know, we just don't want to rent to you. It's like, okay, thanks. And so as we're preparing for the first service, we had nowhere to meet for the second service, and that was an encouragement. But God led us to the Walk With Me Church of God in Christ, okay? And they used to give it a WWMCOGIC. They had some weird euphemism for the thing. And it was, they were great people, by the way. Unfortunately, their service went from 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. And we were supposed to get to church at 3:30, and they never were done. And we'd be across the street, all of us on the lawn of, I think it's Whittier Elementary School, just sitting there waiting. But that was a great building, and they were great folks. They helped us out. Then we met at First Friends Church. By the way, who is anybody here from the Walk With Me Church of God days? Is there anybody? Probably some of the Cambodian. Your mom, that's right. Probably some of the Cambodian folks outside. How many of you were in the First Friends Church? Okay, Maura, we should just have a good time together, Maura. You know, the thing about the First Friends denomination, they don't believe in baptism. So they didn't have a baptistry. So we got us a little, not polyester, what am I thinking of? No, it was a bathtub, but not polyester. It's fiberglass. We got a fiberglass bathtub. The problem is we put water in it when we baptize people. There was more water in people than there was space, and the water would get all over the floor. And then someone broke into church and stole our bathtub. And so we just hosed people off in the parking lot. That was, to me, that was better. We'd have people that slept on the property. We had a guy come in one time, and he was being mean to our girls and tried to grab them. And I remember, if you remember Trent dealt with that issue. And so then we moved to the commercial building at Long Beach Boulevard. All I can say about that, the best thing that ever happened, it got condemned and tore down. We were only there for 9 months, and who was in that church? There was rats all over that place. It was not good. It was bad. Then we went to the computer building over on Anaheim. I remember when we got into that one, the walls were all painted black for some strange reason, and it was 2,400 square feet, and we had church. Our church services were outside under a tarp for probably about 5 years, 6 years. And it was bad. We bought a blue tarp first. And the things about blue tarps, they're kind of see-through. And so the sun coming over that blue tarp made it like a magnifying glass. And it was miserable. Then we did have a building project there. We welded these bars together. I think Rajana's dad did it. We welded these little thin black bars together, and that's what we put the tarp over, and it kept breaking. I went up to my in-laws. They had a 50th anniversary. My father-in-law built a tent out of pipes, and he put a tarp on top of it. And so that was for the 50th anniversary on their farm. And as I was there that week, I'm looking at him like, that would be a better auditorium than what we're in. And so I asked him, what are you going to do with this? And he's like, nothing. I'm like, can we have it? We got a brand new auditorium. It was great. I wish it was that easy now. And then God led us to the Methodist building over here on Pacific Avenue. We actually raised money to build to buy a building over on 3rd and Molino. And there was no parking. It was a smaller building. I think that building was, I'm forgetting the numbers now. I think that building was like $750,000, something like that. And then the neighborhood there, we had a lot of Asians, and there was some gang shootings, and they got nervous because we were Asians. And so we decided, we prayed about it, and like, you know, God, that's what we raised the money for, by the way. You know, hey, we're going to buy this building. We raised the money for it, and it's like, you know, we're not going to buy that building. And I remember we went on an afternoon, pastor asked me to come with them, and we went to the Methodist people to tell them we weren't buying it. And another Methodist pastor in the city, he was going to get the money for that building for his church, and he was trying to talk us into it. And it's like, thank you, we don't want to do it. And we got up to leave, and as we were headed to the door, one of the guys sitting around the table said, you know, we have another building for sale over on Pacific. You guys got to at least go look at it. And we went over there. It was better area. Didn't have a lot of parking, but it had more parking. It was a nicer building. It was bigger, and it was like $150,000 less. And so God gave us a better building. And then Pastor Esposito had prayed about this building for years. He'd come over here and he'd walk and he would pray. We almost rented it in 1996, but they didn't want to rent to us. That's when we bought the other building. But he had prayed for years, and Pastor just called. We outgrew the building there, and Pastor just called him out of the blue and said, "Listen, ask them if they would consider selling." We got a realtor, and just said, "Ask them if they would consider selling the building." I think it was for $1.8 million. And they called and they said, okay, we'll take it. Just no negotiations. And then they took $100,000 off later for us because of some other things. But it's been a great, as you look at what, and it's not just buildings, but how God has moved us and everywhere we went, how God has done things. It's been a huge blessing. And by the way, that's one blessing of being a part of a church and staying around. You get to see what God is doing over the long haul. And so that has been a great blessing. Some things have changed over the years, of course. We've had some trials we've had to overcome. What we're trying to accomplish has never changed, but God has kind of maybe narrowed our focus down and kind of broadened our vision a little bit over the years. Ministries that have been added. But through it all, as we move, as we think about what we've done in the past and as we can start to move forward, there's one thing that must never change, and there's one thing that we must never lose, okay? That is, our focus must always be on Jesus Christ. Must always be on Jesus Christ. People get caught up in all these other different things, but our focus, our church, should always be about Jesus Christ. We as individuals, sometimes we lose focus on him. Bible would call that, I think, losing our first love. And we start heading down towards being a lukewarm Christian. But I'll be honest with you, churches lose their focus also. As people in the church lose their focus, or as the church loses their focus, it all kind of works together, and it's not good. If we're not careful, we get more caught up in programs than what we're trying to accomplish and who we're trying to accomplish it for. Churches get pragmatic. In other words, when we take our focus off of Jesus, it's not just about pleasing him and obeying him. It's about what brings results. And so we change what we're doing in church because it will bring more people to church. And by the way, I'm all for bringing more people to church. But I'm not for bringing more people to church by disobeying God's word or doing some things that would be hurtful in the long run. Amen. You know, I was talking to someone, and they had a pastor into their church, and the pastor started changing a little bit, and he made this comment to them. He said, listen, I'll do anything short of sin to get people. That's wrong. That's not scriptural at all. If we just follow God and love people and do the things we're supposed to do, we can be a blessing. Churches move away from the word of God. They start to focus on the culture, giving people what they want. We're not supposed to give people what they want. Let's share with them what they really need. Yes, sir. I'm glad when I went to church, they didn't look at me and give me what I was a part of and what was going on in my life. They talked to me about something that I really needed in my life, and that resonated. We seek sometimes to be more popular in the world than obedient to the Savior. And I'm not saying we ought to just strive to be mean to everybody, and that's not what we're talking about. In our text, we see that Jesus' parents literally lost their son. Okay. First of all, losing a child is one thing, but losing the Son of God is another. Okay? And that's what happened. How many of you ever walked away from your child? Right? Years ago, I think I mentioned before, years ago, my mother-in-law at the last minute flew in to visit us on Christmas Day. So we all went to pick her up at the airport Christmas afternoon. And so, you know, they make you go single file through the line. Jack was probably about 2. And I was carrying Jack, but everybody had to get down to cut through the line. At that time, they would still let you go to the gate. And so, you know, the whole family went, all the kids that were born at that time. And so, you know, there's a bunch of us that figure, you know, I put Jack down, someone will take care of him, right? And so we all go through security, we go to the gate, and we're all standing around the gate, we're waiting for the plane, and someone's like, hey, where's Jack? And I looked around, I'm like, where is Jack? So I go back to where we entered in, and there's a security guard holding him. So I pick him up and I take him and we go through security. He looks at me and goes, Dad, don't lost me again. I'm like, okay, I won't lost you again. And I've tried, trust me, over the years I've been trying. We left him in Washington, but he's caught up with us. But they lost their son. Joseph and Mary were going to the Passover. As they leave, after they leave and travel on, they realize after a while that Jesus is not with them. They have lost him. But how did they lose him? Their focus was taken off of him. And when their focus was taken off of him, they lost him. A couple years ago, we were up in Washington. We went to the Grant County Fair. And a bunch of us were sitting on the table, and the kids were all around. And Ellie was sitting on the table with us. She was probably not even 1. And she was sitting on the table, but there was 4 of us watching her so she wouldn't fall off the table. And one of the other grandkids did something dumb, you know how grandkids are, and fell. And so we all looked over at that grandkid, and when we did, Ellie went back and fell right off the table onto concrete. Now, fortunately for her, she has a hard head like her father and her grandfather. I mean Hector, not me. Fortunately for her, she landed in such a way she didn't really bang her head. She just landed and cried a little bit. No, nothing there. But what happened is when this one fell, we all started looking at that one, and everybody quit looking at her. And when she fell back, it's like, you know, Geronimo, no parachute, here she goes. But it's sad when we lose our focus on Jesus. Sadly, many people have lost Jesus, and they don't even know it. Joseph and Mary were not necessarily doing something wrong when they lost Jesus. They were obediently going to the Passover. They brought their family along to be obedient, but yet they lost him. I don't want us to ever lose our focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, in the few minutes I have left, I want to share 2 thoughts. First of all, I want us to look at the causes of losing our focus on Jesus. What are some things that would cause us to lose our focus on Jesus? Now, by way of caution, let me say this. If you're just living a life, and I don't think there's a lot of people like this, but if you're just living a life of open rebellion to God and you don't care about him and you have no thought as to what he's doing, this isn't going to apply very much to you. You need to get that settled first. But most of us here, we're not like that. We're here, we have some type of desire for God, but if we're not careful, we'll lose our focus on Jesus and our relationship with him. How do we do that? What are some of these causes? Well, first, they were focusing on what they were doing. Look at verse 43 in the scripture. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried along. They were done. They were required by Jewish law to be there for the Passover so many days. The days were done. They had fulfilled their requirement, and now they're bailing out, and they are going home. That's what happens to us sometimes. We start to see Christianity as nothing more than just doing, just fulfilling what we are, you know, supposed to fulfill if we're going to be the right kind of Christian. Now, let me say this. There are some things that God does ask us to fulfill if we're going to be the Christian he wants us to be. But we're not just fulfilling them for sake of fulfilling them. We're fulfilling them out of love for Jesus, and that's what he wants us to do. But if we're not careful, our focus gets off of what Jesus Christ and who he is, and our focus totally becomes what we are doing. A joyless doing of what I'm supposed to do without the realization of who and why I'm doing it. You know, if you have someone you love or a spouse, you do nice things for them. Why? I have to, or she'll nag me. You know, it's just something that husbands do. Maybe it'll keep her quiet for a few days. Maybe I won't have to sleep on the couch. If you say those things, I know why you're sleeping on the couch. No, it's not why you do it. You ever been out and about and you see something, it's like, you know what? My wife would like that. That's something she's interested in. Or that's something my husband's interested in. And you're thinking about them and your love for them motivates you to do that. That's not a burden. But sometimes if we lose our focus on Jesus Christ, we're just doing to do it and we don't realize who we're doing it for and why we're doing it. Here we go to church again, except for last Thursday night. Okay, got to write another check. Got to pray and read my Bible today. No. Jesus, I get to open your word today and spend time with you. I get to hear you speak to me. I get to pray and spend some time with you. Next, they focus. What causes us to lose our focus? Our focus becomes obscured by others. Look at verse 44, another reason he lost Jesus. But they, supposing him to have been in the company. We got all these people here. Everything's good because even though I don't see Jesus, we got everybody else here. The party that came in is the same party that's leaving, so Jesus just must be in our midst. Because everybody's there, when they travel to these things, their mode of travel was not like ours, okay? A lot of walking, donkeys, and things of that nature. And so they all traveled in groups together. So they thought everything was good because they're part of the group. And if they're part of the group, Jesus just must be there. By the way, I'm all for God's group. God's group is the church. And not the church in general, your local church. Us, right here. But let me just tell you something. I am 100% for church, but just because you're at church doesn't mean your focus is automatically going to be on Jesus. Just because you're in a place where maybe other people's focus is on Jesus doesn't mean yours is automatically going to stay focused on Jesus. You need to work at it and make sure that you keep your focus. Now you say, well, then I don't need church. I'll just keep my focus on Jesus. Listen, I've not met a Christian who can keep his focus on Jesus if he's not part of a church, because God commands us to be part of a local church. No substitute for it. We like the verse, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And Jesus can be in the midst of us, but yet some people miss him because their focus is not on him. Is he with you? I guess that's the question. You see, you can have a place, whether it's our Christian school or our Bible college or a church, and you can have the same people come to any of those institutions, and one group is excited about Jesus Christ, and they're glad, and they're growing, and they're learning, and here's another person, they have the exact same opportunity, and they're not. What's the problem? Is the problem the church? No. Is the problem the school? No. Is the problem the college? Maybe. No. Problem's not the college. The problem is the individual. It's the individual. Some people, they soak it in. They allow it to draw them closer to Jesus. Other people push it out. But just because we're with others doesn't mean we're going to be there. Also, their focus was interrupted by gaps. Look at verse 44. So they supposed him to have been in the company, and they went a day's journey. I mean, they went a full day without checking on him. And there's a period of time like, Well, we saw them 24 hours ago. And they were okay with that gap. You know, not like, listen, this is a journey. This is a big group. You know, when we go on vacation, we just got back. Now it's getting worse. Now there's like 3 cars that go. But like if you stop, that's a lot of people that get out. By the way, source of irritation. It's fun. You get out, you're trying to get somewhere and you're in a hurry. And you got 3 cars, 16, 17 people. It's like, all right, this is restroom break. And everybody gets in the restroom, you're ready to leave. And then someone at the last minute like, you know, I think I'll go too. It's like, you didn't think to do that when we first stopped? I mean, you had to wait till everybody piles out of the car and we all get in the car. We're clicking the straps. It's like, I think I'll go too. I almost want to say wait, but I just don't want that in the car. Okay? But, you know, all these people and everybody's getting out. But whenever we get back in, it's like, all right, did everybody get back in the car who was with us? Especially when it's just my wife and I and the kids were little. It's like, do a head count. I don't want to drive 4 hours down the road and like, hey, you know, where's Emily? You know, she's in Bend, Oregon. Well, I hope she can take a Greyhound bus. No, it's like, head check. Are we here? We're not. Is everybody in here that got in here? Okay, good. Now they're all adults, so I could care less, all right? They have cell phones. They can figure it out. But it's like, everybody in here? They were okay. They were okay with that gap of time. Get this. Sometimes we start to drift away from Jesus and our focus starts to drift a little and there's gaps and it doesn't bother us. It ought to bother us. You ought to say, I don't want to lose him. I'm not going to wait. There's no substitute for being with him personally. And again, we already talked about church, but think of it this way. What if I went to a place 3 times a week? And in this place, they told me about my wife. They talked about how wonderful she is. They talked about what she could do for me. They even told me the words that she spoke. We even sang about her. Now, it'd have to be some type of Mexican salsa song or something like that because, you know. And I heard all kinds of things about her, but yet I never went home. I never went out with her. I never personally communicated with her. Would that be okay? She might say yes, but I wouldn't say yes. Isn't that what we do sometimes with Jesus? I've been to church. I've heard people talk about you. We sang a song about you. I heard some people sing songs about you. They even told me what you said. But then we leave and we never connect with him personally. And we're okay with that happening. Let's be very, very careful that we don't get happy with those gaps. Another reason is because we lose focus on the wrong place. We focus on the wrong place. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. So the first thing, they miss him, and so what do? They start looking amongst their friends and family. He wasn't there. He was somewhere else. They were looking in the wrong places. By the way, it's pretty easy where we find Jesus. It's everything about him and everything we need to really stay close to him is found in his word. Don't accept a false substitute. By the way, people do. The vast majority of people that say they're Christians, they worship a Jesus of their own molding. You see? If all they want is to hear about is love, 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 and do their own thing and no condemnation, then all they think about Jesus is love, love, love. And by the way, Jesus is love. On the flip side, if we want to have a bad spirit, we like this. We only like the stories, and I kind of like the story too, where he goes into the temple and kicks over everything and chases the money changers. I'm kind of in on that story. But there's a balance there. The Jesus, if we're really going to know him for who he is, we've got to look for him in that word. Not what someone says he is, not what we think he is, not what we want him to be, but who is he really? Let's find him in the right place. And another reason we lose him, the last one, is because we focus on blaming him. they go back and they find Jesus. And they're like, verse 48, and his mother said unto his son, why hast thou dealt so with us? Why did you do this? Now, I imagine being a parent to Jesus must have been different. You know, you're going to call out God? Why'd you do this? It's your fault you're lost. Jesus is like, really? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. They should have figured that out. It's not his fault. Too often when we start to lose focus on Jesus, we have to blame somebody. It's never anybody's fault. We would do so much better in our lives if we would just take personal responsibility. Just say, you know what? By the way, that's not to condemn yourself. Taking personal responsibility helps us to get back on the right track. That's all. If we take responsibility for what's going on in our life, it's like, now I've identified that. By the way, taking personal responsibility is the first step to changing anything. And once you take that personal responsibility, now it's like, I'm ready to move on. Let me fix this right here. But whenever we will not take personal responsibility, we have to blame somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. Then the problem will never get fixed. Now, in the last 10 minutes here, what is the cure to help us to refocus on Jesus? Okay, first of all, we have to focus on wanting to find him. The end of verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. The reason they found him is because they decided, we got to go find him. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to make this active. I am going to get him back into where he's supposed to be with his family. But for us, if we're going to have Jesus in our life, we have to focus on saying, I want him back in my life. See, Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to have a close relationship with you until you want to have a close relationship with him. That takes activity. That takes us wanting that. You know the verses. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry land. If you're full and you think you have everything you need and you don't need Jesus, you're not going to get him. But when you realize you need him, you're going to seek him actively. Another cure is focus on finding him where you lost him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. You know where Jesus was? He was right where they left him. Right where they left him. Long time ago, Albert's, Susie's car had broke down or something. I was giving them rides back and forth to church, and they lived down here, and the church was on Pacific, so my wife was taking the kids home. I get in the van. I take Albert's family. I go home, and I would come up Pacific to get on the freeway, and so I'm driving up Pacific to go to the freeway, and I drove by the church, and there was two people standing outside the church. Deborah, Brother Tu's wife, missionary, and my daughter Hannah. And I'm like, I pull into the parking lot. I'm like, what's going on? And Deborah's like, you know, I was busy doing some stuff, and I came out of church late, and Hannah's over here playing in the sandbox by herself. There's no one else around. And I'm like, we're trying to get rid of her. Help us out a little bit here. I'm like, okay, I'll take her. And I did have a cell phone. I called my wife. I said, hey, I already dropped off Albert and them, and I'm coming home to eat lunch. You have all the kids, right? She goes, well, I don't have Hannah. I'm like, what? Where is she? Do you have her? No. That was a lie. I'm like, yes, you left her at church. Someone left her at church. But you know where we found her? Right where we left her. Church. If you're struggling, you feel you're losing focus on Jesus, let me ask you a question. Try to determine where and how you lost him and fix it. If you're not reading your Bible, that's a good place to start. You lost him there. If you're not spending time with him, you lost him there. If you're being unfaithful maybe to church, you lost him there. Okay, if you've allowed some sin to creep into your life, that's where you've lost him. And by the way, if you'll take responsibility and you'll stop and ask God to help you, you'll realize where you lost them, and then that's where you go to fix it. Amen. Very, very simple. An area of obedience, time alone, churches, maybe serving him, maybe some relationship, maybe you've allowed bitterness in your life. Whatever it is, be very careful. And then lastly is this, focus on finding the joy that was lost. In verse 48 it says, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Sorrowing. Okay? Whenever you lose Jesus, things aren't going to be better. Amen. They're not. Amen. You may think, and I may think, that doing my own thing is best, but really, I have found in my life that serving Jesus is best. Amen. Don't fall for the nonsense people tell you. Oh, it's well, man, serving Jesus is the best thing you'll ever do. Yep. And one thing is, if you're starting to lose joy in your life, a lot of times that's God's way of telling you something's missing. There's something in the way of obedience you're not doing right. And if we'll just simply get back to what we're supposed to be doing, that joy comes back. As we go forward from here, 29 great years, and however long you've been serving Jesus in your life, you can have an anniversary for that too. If you're going to keep it going, we have to keep our focus on the Savior. How's your focus this morning? Have you started to let little things kind of push it out? And maybe you're still kind of going forward and doing the things you're supposed to do, but you don't think about Jesus like you used to think about. Let's not lose focus on him. Let's not lose him like his parents did. Let's stand this morning.